nonsense. As live as they want to be from California, here's Sean and Jen.
We're live. We're doing it live. And by that, I mean we're not live at all, except we're not dead.
This is true. We are not dead.
We are the opposite of live.
Sure.
So
we're undead? Wait.
We're unalive.
We're unalive.
Well, No, actually, we're unlive is all.
Okay.
Sure. Welcome to Hyper Nonsense. We are the podcast that comes to you straight from the heart of California. So, how are you tonight, Jen?
I'm doing okay. I was sick a couple days ago, but I'm a little bit better now.
I think we should probably just have, you know, is a regular segment on the show. We can just have, what's wrong with Jen today? Jen's wellness checkup.
Yeah. Today I'm just sleepy because I'm slightly anemic, which happens when you have chronic illness with borderline anemia, but I'm okay.
If we ever have premium content, we ever do that, then we'll have a special podcast. It'll just be called "How Sick Is Jen Today?"
Right, and we can list like how many hours I sleep if it's over 10. You know,
right?
Because it happens. Scare people. Why not?
So I'm just over here obsessively trying to monitor all the levels of things, thanks to certain feedback that we got, which we'll go over later. Certain feedback that might or might not be from a certain comedic songwriter person. So, let's actually talk about things.
Things are good.
Mm-hmm. Some kind of an order. So, on our last exciting show where we kind of proved how old we are, and we talked about curtains and all the things we went down to and bought at the drugstore.
Yep.
One of the things that I kind of mentioned briefly is that I had bought these, as I actually wrote in the document. It's not entirely accurate. I wrote down Audimute curtains, but they're really not curtains. They're more like blankets. And this is a project that has been really in the works for a while. And again, we mentioned it a bit on the last show, and the fact that there was this huge box in our living room for months that was there, that had been there for so long that when we let our cocktails out to play, they just went and sat in it. Like, it's been there forever.
Mm-hmm. And they were so used to it. And one of them, I remember Poquito, she came and sat on it and kind of, looked at me like, can I sit here?
Yeah.
Not that she'll move if the answer's no. You have to chase her. She's kind of stubborn. But I remember that, and I kind of let her. And then there was it was right next to the table, and she's not allowed on the table. So she was on the table, and I chased her off of there. And so she sat on the box. And I went, okay, fine, you can sit on the box. And since then, they've been sitting on the box. They've been chewing on the box. They've been sitting next to the box and snuggling the box. They're used to the box. It's been there too long.
Yeah. So it's been there for a long time. And I wanted to, before we go on this trip we're about to take to Las Vegas, I wanted to get that out of that room, because my mom is going to be house-sitting for us, and I didn't need her to try to have to navigate around this huge box.
Right.
So,
she comes and takes care of our birdies, and they love her, and they sing for her.
Yeah. It's fun for everybody. So, I finally, on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, today's Saturday.
Yes.
It's a little late for me, finally on Friday, I said, okay, I'm really going to unpack this box and get these Audimute things out. And the reason that we bought these is because we want to create basically a soundproof vocal booth to do certain kinds of work. It won't be so much for podcasting, but we're hoping for maybe audiobook narration, other things where we need a little more control over the sonic dynamics of everything.
Right.
Now, I have noticed since we got some of these new microphones and some of this other gear that we have that a lot of the noise issues that we were fighting against when we were doing these types of recordings in the past have been somewhat mitigated just by the new equipment we have, which is good, but I don't know if it's enough because when you record an audiobook, you really need a lot of clarity. You need, you can't have really hardly any background noise or anything that's noticeable, especially if you want to go through this thing that we want to do, which is, it's called the Audiobook Creation Exchange, and they have standards. It's not just like you can, record an audiobook with your USB headset and then they go, okay, here you go. They have a certain threshold of quality they need you to meet in order to publish through that system. So my thinking way back when was, well, we need to have, a real soundproof booth, and we have this closet back here. So I figured, okay, well, we'll soundproof the closet as much as possible. And I looked up a bunch of different things, and it seemed like they're called Audimute, AUDIMUTE. It's the company that makes them. And it seemed like those could be good for this kind of purpose. So I ordered some, and then finally yesterday I went and hung them up in the closet. And, we haven't done any testing in there yet, so I don't know what the real outcome is going to be, but I can tell that if I just stand in there, even like right now, the closet is open and one of the blankets is down because you can't go through the closet if it's not that way.
Yeah, it's going to block the door. Like, to be clear, we've taken the door off the closet quite some time ago.
Actually never had a door.
Oh, never had a door? Okay, so somebody took the door off the closet before we got here.
It was doorless when we moved in.
So that makes it easy. Yeah, actually, now that I look at it, I can see where there might have been a door at one point or intention for a door, but there's no, indication of where the hinges might have been or anything. But anyway, so it's a closet, and it's big enough to walk in and store, music equipment and stuff, and it has a light in the ceiling. And I often use that light because it's pretty near my computer and it just helps a little bit, and so you've got two of these Audimute curtain blanket things on covering two of the walls. And the third one is on the ground because it's going to be on the inside of that closet to help muffle sound.
It'll cover the door space.
Right. It'll cover that door space that now I'm, getting light through. Yeah.
And I had bought these clamps, these clips, it's really a better word, because it was really unclear to me from looking at the Audimute website how we can hang these. And they're just, clips that you can clip on the top. And then the reason they make these is they're thinking that you may be in a place where you can't leave these blankets hanging up permanently. So they have these clips to kind of make it fast. The idea is that you could go into whatever space you're in and run some nails through these clips, and then the clips would hold on to the blankets. And the blankets actually have grommets, which I didn't know, or at least I wasn't sure about. So I figured, well, we're going to leave these up most of the time, so I'm not going to mess with these clips. And I just drilled a bunch of screws into the wall and just hung the blankets on the clips or on the screws. And I do want to say this much. They are definitely blankets. Like when we, if we ever just don't need them anymore for whatever reason, I don't know what we could do. We could donate them to, the homeless shelter or whatever. Like they are actual.
They're almost like mats. I mean, they're really thick. And
yeah, they are. They would definitely keep you warm if you needed them to.
They kind of remind me of the thickest type of like moving blankets you can think of.
Yeah.
You know, where you like pack stuff into them, like, I don't know, a delicate piece of furniture or something that you're worried about getting scratched up or something like that. And this would like totally protect it. It's just, it's like a quilt, like a, not a quilt. It's thicker than a quilt.
A comforter.
A comforter, yes.
But way, way heavier. And it's interesting that you say the thing about moving blankets, because if you do a lot of research on DIY soundproofing, especially if you want to do music recording, one of the things that comes up a lot is you can use moving blankets to help, you know, deaden a space acoustically for recording. And I did, you know, again, I did a lot of research on this, and, you know, I saw some people say, yeah, moving blankets work fine. Some people said, no, they don't. And I thought, well, the Audimute just seems more, I mean, it's specifically designed for this purpose. And whether or not it would be good enough for, say, some super, you know, high-end professional, whatever, I don't know. But I have noticed just a little bit, like, walking into the closet, even with just the two blankets up, just walking in there, I could immediately notice a deadening of sound moving around. So I think for the purpose that we bought them for, they're going to work. If we actually need them, will kind of be the test of time. And the other thing is, I was in there at one point with the blanket over the door space, and it got really warm in there.
That's now, what I was thinking is going to happen. Yeah.
I was in there during the day, and it was kind of warm out, and I had been doing a lot of physical labor because I moved a bunch of stuff out of that closet. Like, I have a Fender PA system. It's a powered PA system with a power amp and a mixer built in, and it's heavy. And I took that and moved it out to the shed and just had to pull everything else out that was in there. And, you know, so I was kind of overheated a bit from that. But I noticed right away when I covered up the door that it got warm in there. So I don't know. We may find that it's actually not doable from the perspective of you won't be able to go in there for very long because it'll start to get too warm. Now,
we'll see. I tend to be cold anyway and like the heat, so, well, I may be happy in there.
Yeah,
who knows?
And it's possible you may actually like it. And of course, we are planning, as we've already explained, to do a lot of this recording later on in the day, so it'll be cooler just by nature. So we'll just have to see how it goes. And, you know, I kind of had that moment where I went, well, you know, I wonder if we really are even going to need this, but we'll see over time. And what I was thinking is, if it turns out that the whole vocal booth thing is just not needed, then what I may do is actually take those blankets and hang them up around this room, because there are places where, I mean, I can hear it as I talk. I don't hear it so much with you, but like in my case, I think because of where I'm sitting and the fact that my voice just carries a bit more than yours, that I can hear, you know, as I speak, I can hear more kind of, you know, not echoey, just my voice moves around the room more and the microphone picks that up. So applying those blankets in some places would cut down on that. So anyway, that's the fun story of that. Now, I went and, you know, on one of the past episodes, I was going on about how there's this conspiracy against us at Apple.
Oh, yeah.
This started with how they changed the text edit application, the way that it encodes, so I can't use it to just edit text files anymore, and that I have to use Xcode now if I want to do things like do a quick edit of a PHP or HTML file. And there was an update that came down from Apple for all Mac computers. It's OS 10.9.4. And it applied to my computer kind of really without me knowing. It was just kind of automatic, which isn't really a big deal, I guess. But it was automatic, and it just kind of happened. And I noticed a few days later that my email program, I use Apple Mail, which is the email client that's designed by Apple, hence the clever name. And I noticed that it was doing some funny things with my email. And what triggered this is before we recorded our last show, I was trying to gather up all the comments that had come in. And I realized, you know, I went to look at the website for something else completely different. And I noticed there were comments on there that I hadn't seen in my email. And if you've ever used WordPress, which is what runs our website, then you know that unless you tell it otherwise, if someone leaves a comment, then it sends that comment to you in an email. And it turned out that there were like 3 or 4 comments that I had never been notified about. And then, well, that's strange. So I start poking around in my Apple Mail, and I see that Apple Mail, for some reason, has diverted all of these comments into the junk folder, the junk mail folder. And I'm like, well, that's really strange. So I started doing some research, and what I came to realize is that once again, this is not the first time this has happened, but once again, Apple has completely borked the Apple Mail application. When they released a new version of the operating system Mavericks, OS 10.9, they had a huge issue with Apple Mail, and it wasn't working. It was just having lots of problems. And they released an update, and it seemed to be fine, and then boom, they updated again, and now it's broke again. And at first, I figured for sure this is me. This is something I've done. Even though I hadn't changed anything, I figured, okay, there's a setting somewhere, something I can change. And I start looking at all these different forum posts where people are saying, you know, people are reporting similar problems. Everything I try, nothing's working. And then finally, I just went to the main Apple support forum discussion thing they have. And I just went to the front page for Apple Mail. And everyone is complaining about all these things. And everybody's going, it worked fine a week ago. It's not working anymore. So I realized it's not me.
No. Not if everybody else is complaining too, you know?
Yeah. So once again, the conspiracy against us at Cupertino. Just more evidence to throw on that fire.
Sure. Why not? But it's not just you, you know.
Well, it's a conspiracy against all of us.
Oh, against everyone. Well, okay then, sure.
But mostly us.
Says everyone who's been having problems.
Another thing that happened yesterday, along with the application of curtains to a closet, which how often do you get to say that? Yesterday was my birthday.
Yay!
And we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. But in the evening, later on in the day, I kind of hit this point where, you know, I'd done things. We'd done some fun things, and I'd done some other productive things, including the hanging of the Automute blankets.
Right, right. That was before we went out.
And, you know, later on in the evening, I hit this point where I went, okay, well, I kind of just want to do nothing that really needs brain power for the rest of the night. And Jen was in Nappy Boo's land.
I slept. I take a lot of naps. I can't help it.
And she was downloading the Warlords of Draenor beta.
Yeah, again, trying. Yes.
And because we have this meager DSL connection, anytime an application wants to download a big file, and you know, this was like a 16 gigabyte file, that's all there is. There's no other internet here. And I want to stress that I'm not complaining about the fact she wanted to download the thing. I don't care. I'm just stating that once a computer needs to download a big file like that, every other computer is essentially locked out from the internet. There's just no way to get around
this. Right, and it even does it for smaller files too, because there'll be times where I'll be working on something for work and I'm looking at a bunch of different websites to kind of put things together, and everything will stop dead, and I'll ask him, are you downloading something? And he'll go, I don't think so. And then he'll look, and iTunes has started downloading podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh yeah, I am. And it like cut me off in order to download. So, I mean, yeah, it's just kind of, that's how it goes here.
It's just the nature of, you know, when you're dealing in a six megabit down world, that when you need to download a large file, it just takes everything over.
Right. And to be fair, I mean, the Warlords of Draenor beta is big. It's really big.
Oh, yeah,
it's bigger than a podcast by far. And I think other people, from what I've been seeing on Twitter, have had some difficulties with it stopping downloading, and so you have to like start up again. You're like, oh yeah, I should be ready to play. Oh no, I'm not. So it took more than once for me, you know. So that happened. So you couldn't really do much online at that point.
So I figured, okay, well, when it comes to these kind of no-brain, you know, passive activities, I've pretty much got two choices. I can watch something on TV, or I can play a video game. And the only video game I'm really playing right now is Diablo 3, which requires the internet, so that was out. And when I say watching TV, what I mean is kind of, you know, staring at something on the TV, because we don't have cable and Netflix wasn't going to work. So I figured, well, I'm going to revisit the splendid days of yore, and I'm going to pull out a DVD and watch it. And I wasn't looking for, I mean, we don't have a lot of DVDs of things I haven't seen. That we actually have a few things I haven't seen. But I was just looking for something that I'd seen before and wasn't going to require a huge commitment in terms of brain power. And I didn't want to watch anything that was part of a series. I just wanted a one-off thing. And I start digging through the DVDs, and I find the classic film of all time, that is UHF, Weird Al Yankovic's UHF.
Oh my.
And I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch this. I haven't seen it in a while.
I think that would qualify for not needing a lot of brain power. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I pull the disc out, and what we have is a Mac Mini. I think it's a circa like 2010-ish Mac Mini. So it's not super old, but it ain't new. It's actually probably the last Mac Mini that had an optical drive built in. I think it was the model after that that Apple said, we're not doing drives anymore. We're done with that. That's for old people. We're Apple. Everything's in the cloud. Bam. It's going to work as, everything's going to be in the cloud. Bam, it'll work as flawlessly as Apple Mail. Boom. See how sold you? So, I take the disc out. I put it into the Mac Mini. It starts revving up. It's trying to run the disc. And the DVD player pops. And it says, you know, error reading portions of disc. And I've just got a black screen. And I'm okay. Well, this ain't so good. Now I'm willing to give Apple a little bit of a break on this one, because I'm sure the disc has been old and it's been played a few times and it's probably not in pristine condition. So now I'm stuck. I got this black screen. Nothing's happening. I quit out of the DVD drive or the DVD player app. And I hit the eject button on the keyboard to get it to give me the disc back, because it won't do anything now. It just, I mean, the computer's fine, but it's not reading the disc and won't do anything. So I go to hit the eject button and it won't give me the disc back. And I know that people who may be listening to this that are used to Windows computers, or at least non-Apple computers, you're probably going, hey, dummy, just hit the button. Well, this is Apple Land, and Apple Land don't have no buttons for drives. There probably hasn't been a button for opening a disk drive on an Apple computer since the mid-90s. there was one for opening, you know, opening, like the first Mac I ever had was a G4 Tower, and that had an optical drive in it with a tray that actually popped out, and that had a button on it, and you put a disk in and you close it. But once you close it, opening the button on the drive didn't open it again. You had to do something software-wise to tell the computer to eject the disk. Well, now, all the Apple computers have these slot loading drives. So there's that whole mechanism of the tray that pops out is gone. So you put the disk in, and you have to signal somehow to the computer to eject the disk. And in this case, it wasn't doing it. I tried. Again, I had to go online and look at a bunch of different forums. And I tried about a half dozen things. And finally, what I had to do was I had to turn the computer off completely and power it back on and hold down on the keyboard the eject button. And finally, as it was booting up, it spat the disk back out. Well, this went from, you know, hey, yay, I'm going to watch a movie, to 30 minutes of troubleshooting, and I just went, I'm done with this. I don't want to watch this anymore. I don't want to deal with it. And I certainly didn't want to put the disk back in and fight with it again. And part of the reason I want to bring this up is over the years, we've owned 4 computers with these app. They call them super drives, which is the Apple DVD-RW drive. And 3 out of the 4 of them have failed completely, and the only one that so far had been working flawlessly is this one that I'm complaining about now. So, again, I'll give Apple a little leeway on this one because the disk may be damaged. It's probably not in great shape. But it's another thing that I wonder about, like with the Apple Mail, where I go, is it me, or are other people having these problems? I mean, does the Apple SuperDrive just suck that horribly? I mean, I'm looking at a 75% failure rate. That seems abnormally high.
Maybe that's why they stopped making them. Maybe they started to suck. Well, they knew it.
And
you know?
I can't help but wonder that. I mean, I know that the overall reason that Apple dropped the optical drive, it's the same thing as back when the first iMacs came out and they didn't have floppy drives in them. And everyone went, oh my God, Apple, what have you done? You've taken away my floppy drive? And like a year later, nobody cared.
Yeah.
Because CDR, you know, CDRs and CDRWs were becoming more and more standard. And
right.
They just, you know, the notion of having a piece of media in your house that holds 1.5 megabytes of data was absurd. So this was kind of the same thing. They were saying, Apple was saying, the direction we're going is we believe media is going to be cloud-based. Everything is going to be on big disks. There's no reason anymore to have these optical drives. But I can't help but wonder if someone also said, oh yeah, by the way, our super drives suck, and you know, we're constantly replacing them or servicing them or doing this or that anyway, so screw it, let's just not make them anymore.
I gotta wonder too if you had that, you know, big of a disaster rate on these things, you know.
And I know that, you know, there are times historically that, you know, I've come across as a bit of an Apple fan. I hasten to say an Apple zealot, but I will call them out when they deserve it. And this thing with Apple Mail is ridiculous. And, you know, one of the pushes that they're doing when it comes to the next version of the Mac OS along with iOS is they're really pushing that their cloud services are going to be amazing. And I really hope that's true, because historically, going back to Mobile Me, which is the Apple email service thing that predates iCloud, they've had trouble in this area. This has not been Apple's strong suit, the whole mobile syncing and communications type thing, it's not been their strongest area. So I really hope that when all of this stuff comes out, that it is better and it is amazing. And right now, the problem I'm having with Apple Mail is manageable. It's annoying, but it's manageable. But it just sucks that, you know, that it's just this constant problem where they update it and they break it. So enough of that. Let's go on to the feedback, including some of those comments that we missed. So do you have your document handy?
I do. Here's the document. So we have some feedback. And the first one, this is comments that were left on our website. And the first one comes from Matt Sams, who says, "Happy birthday, Sean."
Thanks, Matt.
That's awesome. And we have a comment from Nathan. He says, "You can leave a review on iOS if you have the podcast app, the podcasts app with an S. So I guess that app is good for something." There's a winky smiley face after that.
And that comment goes back to, I had, you know, we asked for iTunes reviews, and I had put it out there that I wasn't sure if you can leave those reviews through the podcast app on iOS, or if the only way to do it is through actual iTunes on a desktop computer. But Nathan confirms here that you can leave a review for us or any other podcast you like if you're using the podcast app on an iOS device. And if you go to hypernonsense.com/iTunes on, well, in a web browser, it'll take you directly to our listing in the iTunes store. And from there, whatever platform you're on, whether it is an iOS device or a desktop computer, if you have iTunes installed, it'll take you to where you can leave a review. If you're using something else that doesn't have iTunes or is not iOS, then it won't work. So don't bother. But thanks, Nathan, for that. And I think when I was putting the document together, I thought I had another comment from Nathan that is not actually on the document. So anyway, Jen, you can go ahead and read the next one.
Okay, so the next one is from Van Sunder. He says, "I have not started watching Orange is the New Black. For some reason, the whole premise didn't sound interesting to me, or at least not interesting enough for me to put it ahead of the other shows on my list." And he also says, "A review has been left. Enjoy."
So this, I think, pretty much confirms the secret identity of Epinosis Thunders.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Because as of our last show, we had only one review that wasn't written by me.
Right. And so that's got to be it, right?
Yeah. So yeah. I think we've narrowed down.
Cool. Okay.
Don't worry. Your secret identity is safe with us.
Yeah. No, but no one will tell. Right. Right.
And of course, we did mention Orange is the New Black on the show. And actually, David's comment on the site kind of spurred a little discussion between Nathan and I about the show. And I wasn't going to copy all those comments in, but if you go to the website, you can look at that. And, you know, one of the things that Nathan stated, and I'm assuming that Nathan has read the book,
I believe he has, yeah. Uh-huh. Or at least listened to the audiobook, if not read it. But yeah, he has. He is familiar with that.
Is that the... He was saying that in the comments that, you know, some of the stuff that was taken from the book, you know, the show is based on the book, but don't watch the show thinking that it's a point-for-point retelling of the story. You know, because the
it's different.
Yeah,
it's very
it's
different.
It's based on the book, but
kind of loosely based on the book.
Yeah, I mean, but everything. Yeah. You know, there are certain details that are taken from the book for the TV show, but and that's one of the things that I was kind of curious about, and I kind of figured as much because when you go to make a TV show, you know, a TV show is different from a book unless you're doing something like a miniseries, like they always do to Stephen King books or something.
Yeah, and even where, that, there's some differences. But
well, there always will be. But my point is that they're doing the TV show much like you would do a TV show where they're kind of going, okay, we've got a season here. If the season does well enough, we'll go on to the next one. And you can't really do a book for that long of a stretch of time. So it kind of made sense. But anyway, thanks to you guys. And then there's, I think, one more comment from the site. Actually, there's a couple more if you could read those.
Yeah, there's a couple more. Let's see. And did we mention, I don't know if we mentioned that we actually finished watching Orange is the New Black now?
No, we okay. haven't. Yeah, we are finished through mm-hmm. season two.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure there's a season three confirmed, I think. So we'll see when that happens.
Yeah. I haven't heard, but it would seem likely.
It would seem likely. I know there was a rumor going around on Twitter that, oh no, season three had been canceled, and the Orange is the New Black Twitter account said, no, that's not the case. So it could be. I'd like to watch another season. Anyway, moving on with comments. We have one from Ro at Dark Compass who says, your PayPal link does not work, guys. Hashtag buy Jen a drink.
Yeah, and I actually followed up on that on the website, and Rolly was correct about that, hypernonsense.com/support. It's all fixed now, and I don't know what it is with these buttons that you can get from services like PayPal, but historically, they just don't work. Like, they give you code, and you're supposed to copy and paste it, and for some reason in WordPress, these things never work. They work in other places, but if you want them to be in WordPress sites, they just tend not to work. So I kind of took it apart and reassembled it in a different way. And it works fine now. So, and that goes back to a thing, the hashtag buy Jen a drink. We'll talk about that more later.
Right, yeah.
So that's a thing. But yeah, the PayPal button is working now. And everything else, as far as I can tell, that's on that support page is working as well.
All right.
According to my tests.
According to your tests, so that's good to know. We also have one more comment from Ken Turetsky, who says, dear Hyper Headroom, your little podcast does not just have room to grow audience-wise, but volume-wise as well. A few more dBs, please. Just squash those peaks first, and you'll find plenty of room for amplification. Otherwise, the show is excellent as, most of the time, crossed off, almost crossed off, always. Follow my advice, and your listeners will be happy little boys and gulls.
Yeah.
That's a clever comment.
And, you know, I responded to Ken on that one also on the website, and I said, yeah, thanks for giving me something, you know, thanks for fueling my obsession even more now. But he is right. I have looked at the shows. When we finish these shows and I go to export them as MP3 files, my audio production app shows me what the final waveform looks like. And some of them, it's looked a little weak. So the last show before I put it out, I did some processing to make sure that the talking, everything was more leveled out and it looked better to me anyway. So I'm still waiting to get some approval on that from Ken. So we'll see if the last show and this one pass the Ken Turetsky volume test. So and also before this show I did a little bit more tweaking with the audio gear, try to make sure, because one thing that I've noticed too is, and this is a problem that goes back for ages with us doing podcasts, is that I'm always louder than Jen, and I can't figure out how to make that work. You know, I try to balance it out. I mean, I always have her microphone louder than mine.
Yeah, and I'm talking into it. I'm not, you know, far away from it or anything. No. But I think part of it is that you're just able to project more than I am.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can project. I try. Well, I used to be able to when I was younger. You could hear me on a stage in an auditorium, you know, full of, you know, high school auditorium size thing. I could do it without a mic. But yeah, I don't know why it's... I think you just project more, and I think where you're sitting is echoing your... or amplifying your voice a bit, too.
Yeah, there is that. So a couple other things, piece of feedback I wanted to go over. One from @RockEye on Twitter. He actually responded to both you and I, and he said... He posted a picture. He said, my old smart car, hashtag no gull wings. And yes, that was a picture of his old smart car. I don't know if he has a new smart car or if he has some other car.
But it's a cute little car. Well, I like smart cars. They're so cute.
They are adorable. And I do like them. And I wonder sometimes with us, as I kind of stated in that show where we talked about it, I think we can expect throughout the rest of our lives, I mean, Jen's 41 and I'm now 38, And I don't really see us buying too many more cars.
Well, especially since you figure I've had mine forever.
Well, yours is 20 years old now.
It is. 20 years old. This is the car. This is the first car I owned. And yeah, we'll just keep the story there. It's the first car I owned and I still have it, you know?
Well, yeah. And I'm just thinking, unless things really go downhill for us and we have to do that thing that people go through where they go through, you know, a few beater cars or two that they just, because there's just no other option. Like you got to go out and buy a car for like $800 because you just can't do anything else. I'm hoping we can avoid that scenario, but.
No, I'll ride buses before I start putting money into a car that's going to cost more in repairs than,
yeah.
You know.
We're fortunate in that, at least for right now anyway, we could live without a car. I mean, we can have everything, all the essential stuff, even groceries, we can have delivered now. And
well, plus, I mean, it's not that far away either, you know?
Right.
Like, there's a farmer's market that happens once a week. It's totally in walking distance.
True.
You know, that we could get produce from if we wanted to and not even have to need a car, you know?
Yeah.
But in addition to that, I mean, the grocery store is not that far away.
No.
We could, you know, get some things, you know, and take it on the bus without really inconveniencing anyone.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible.
Well, especially in this town. Some people carry around a lot of stuff with them. I'll just leave it at that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I see a lot of people get on the bus with three or four bags, and it's not because they went on a shopping spree. Regularly this happens. And by this I mean the same people regularly are doing this. And by all this, what I'm trying to say is we have a lot of homeless people here. But it could be completely manageable for us to live without a car. In a world where we could have a car or not have a car, I'd rather have one. But fortunately, we could get by without one. And the big factor here is neither one of us works under the house. So
that's huge.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have to, you know, leave your house in order to work, you don't need a car to get you to work.
Yeah.
You know, you're making money no matter how little or how much at home. And, you know, that makes a difference.
But
in
I know,
so many ways, actually.
I know now that smart cars make a full electric version. And I'm really fascinated by full electric cars. And I think it's a cool idea. And I think it's a technology that's just about here. Whereas, say, 5 years ago, it was kind of like, well, if you want to be an early adopter, you can get into electric cars. But I think it's a technology that's here. And it's still probably going to be a while before we need to buy a car, I hope. But what I'm really hoping is we'll be able to just segue into the...
No, we don't want to end up with the segue.
No.
That's not a good idea.
No, not that. But we can just move, right, we can move from, you know, dinosaur-fueled technology into future-fueled technology and just go straight to having an electric vehicle. And, you know, I don't know. We'll have to see when we get there. So.
It might be okay because really we don't drive that far typically.
No.
Like we'll drive downtown and take a bus somewhere most of the time.
If we go out of town, yeah.
If we go out of town. Once in a while we'll go out of town to visit your family and I'll drive. But it doesn't happen very often. You know, it's not like every day like a commute to work kind of thing. So I figure if the smart car is an electric vehicle and we can charge it here, we could probably go downtown, you know, and like come back and be fine, you know?
Right. Well, and see, that's something I hadn't even considered because to charge anything, whatever it is, but an electric car especially, you've got to have, obviously you've got to have access to an electrical outlet, and where we park our car, there really isn't one. So we'd have to find a solution for that. And then of course, if you want to charge it efficiently, you need to buy an inverter, and people have these things installed. I don't even know if that's a possibility here. So it's one of those things, again, coming out of all the stuff we'd have to work out. Now, there are places, plenty of places in town where you can charge a car. And I guess that theoretically, considering how, you know, how in often, which I'm not sure is a word, we would actually use the car, we could just take a day where we would go, okay, well, we're going to take the car to a charging station and leave it and come back later. So I don't know. There's just so many things to figure, and right now it's all kind of pointless
right.
speculation.
Like, I think we could bring it to the parking garage because they have a section that has charging, you know, stations.
Yeah.
And then the Target, actually, not downtown, a little bit farther away, but not too far away, has charging stations for electric vehicles too. So, I mean, you know, you could like drive your little car to the Target and, you know, plug it in and go grocery shopping.
Yeah.
You know, it would work just fine, I think.
So there's some possibilities there. What's one of the nice things about being in California is we tend to be more, we tend to adopt these things faster than I think other parts of the country. I know that's not true for everywhere, but I feel like there's probably more electric car charging stations, even in San Luis Obispo, than I don't know, there are in, I don't know, the entire state of Oklahoma. Like, that's just a guess, but I just feel...
It kind of feels like it might be right. I have no data on this, but
I know that,
it kind of feels right.
I know that Tesla did, that's Tesla Motor Cars, not that great metal band from the 80s, but Tesla Cars did a thing recently where they actually drove a Tesla cross-country to show that you could do it, you know, that the charging stations are plentiful enough now that you can actually drive an electric car across country. And I'm sure that that doesn't automatically mean you can just go anywhere.
No, there's probably a route you should probably aim towards, would think.
It's one of those things where you would go, okay, well, I'm going to plan my trip around where the charging stations are and hope that that has enough places in it you want to go for at least spend the night.
Right.
I don't actually know how long it takes to charge a car, so.
I don't know, but it would be interesting to figure that out if we ever end up with a smart car that's electric.
So yesterday, as stated earlier, was my birthday.
Yay.
And
are you happy? Was it fun?
Yeah, I had a good day. So we'll kind of break it down. I mean, I got up and I had some things I wanted to get done.
Like
I got some work done.
Stuff hanging in the closet.
Yeah, and I had I had some chores around here that needed to get done and all that, including hanging up the blankets. And at some point in the early afternoon, Jen got up. And,
which was early for me.
Well, yeah, it
slightly.
Was. Slightly. And she came in here and she sat down and she said, well, do you want your birthday present? And I figured, sure, why not? You know, it's my birthday now. Because she had asked me, I think even a couple days ago.
Yeah, I asked if you wanted it the day before or the day of, because I wasn't sure. Like, I knew we had plans with your family and I didn't know if you wanted to do all the birthday stuff at once or if you wanted to stretch it out or what you felt like doing, you know?
So I said, just wait until, you know, just give it to me on my birthday and that's fine. And so she hands me this thing in my hand right here. You can kind of hear it wobbling a little bit on the microphone, maybe. And not wrapped at all, which is fine.
Yeah, well, we don't
it didn't
do
need
that
to be.
Very often. Yeah.
Usually if I wrap a birthday present for Jen, I wrap the newspapers. So.
Yeah, and I like that. I think it looks cool and it's recyclable.
Right. So, you know, it's just another example here about how we're healing the planet at Hypernonsense. So she hands me this thing. She has it flipped over, and I'm just looking at this white, you know, paper. I don't want to call it cardboard.
No,
I don't
it's
think
like
that's what
it
is, but
it's sort of. It's not like the paper that would be coming into or out of your computer printer, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not like a piece of
it's
like
thicker.
Brown corrugated cardboard.
Yeah.
It's a white board kind of thing that you could do like watercolor on easily, that kind of thing.
It's thicker, so I flip it over, and what I have here is this amazing artwork that Jen has made.
And the look on his face when he looked at it, my God, I don't think I've seen him smile that big in I don't know how long, and he was laughing, and I'm like, okay, this was a good plan.
And it has the Hypernonsense logo at the top, and then there's these red bars, kind of, I wouldn't exactly call them stripes, but they're sort of like that, that emanate out of it, almost like the Hypernonsense, because the logo's inside a circle, so it sort of looks like a sun. And then these beams, these red beams are coming out of it. And then there's these two characters on here that Jen made with the Chibi Maker online.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And one of them is me, and I'm holding an iPod, And one of them is Jen, and she's holding a coffee.
Yes.
And then underneath it, it's got this kind of green, sort of jagged-looking border, which is again, representative of our environmental initiatives and how we're going to heal the planet.
Exactly. So everything's paper cut.
You know? Yeah. This is not, you know, this was not drawn. I mean, I'm assuming, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but you printed out the logo.
Right.
And then you printed out the chibis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you used paper strips to kind of make these red bars and the green part at the bottom.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was amazing. This is like the best.
I'm glad you liked it. It was just something silly I did that I thought might make you smile. So, yeah.
This was like the best gift ever. And I said, okay, well, we're going to have to get this framed so we can hang it up. So that is one thing that we'll do soon. And I have scanned this. I wanted to make sure I scanned it before it got framed. And what I'm going to do is I'll put the image of this into the album art for the show, but the spec for album art is a square and this art is a rectangle, so right. It'll be cropped, but I'll put the full image up on the website and you can go to hypernonsense.com/, what's a good keyword for this episode? Go to hypernonsense.com/chibis.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
CHIBIS.
Yes.
For the non-chibi literate out there. Go to hypernonsense.com/chibis, and you'll see all the notes for this episode and all of the full scan of this art in there. So that was cool. So thank you again for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you liked it. It's almost like it's very comic book because of the chibis, you know? Yeah. And because I knew I was using chibis and I was just going to cut them and paste them, that, you know, I wanted almost a comic book-esque kind of thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I did what I did.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And then I had to wait days and not tell you. And I'm like, oh, no, you know?
Yeah. If only I weren't such an ardent follower of the birthday gift rule, which is I don't want gifts for my birthday until my birthday.
Yeah, well, whatever possible. You like, you know? But, I mean, I made it well beforehand.
Yeah.
And then I had to sit here and wait. Like, I can't even tell you,
And, you know, one of the things that always happens if your birthday is public, you know, you get birthday wishes online. And I got a few of those on Twitter, which I should have wrangled up, but I didn't. I know I got one from Nevik, and I got one from Medros, and I got one from Sad Romeo for sure. So thank you, guys. And if there's anyone there I missed, I apologize. But obviously, I have my birthday is public on Facebook, so the Facebook thing started rolling in, and that was fine, and thanks to everyone who left me a comment there. One person in particular, Tigger from Boise and Beyond, actually sent me a $10 Starbucks card.
Aw, that was very sweet of you, Tigger.
So that was very nice. Thank you, Tigger. And that actually is doubly useful because there's a Starbucks in our hotel in Las Vegas.
Oh, perfect.
And as I was looking at the maps earlier, I realized that most of the big casinos have a Starbucks in them. They're just everywhere.
Oh, so you would just have found one no matter what.
Yeah, we would not had any trouble with that. We joke all the time about how there's a million Starbucks here in our little town, but I think Las Vegas will have us beat for sure as far as that's concerned. And in reality, for most things, Las Vegas should have us beat because we're a town of 50,000 people and Las Vegas has everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So later on in the day, we met up with my family. They came down and we had a birthday dinner at a restaurant called the Spirit of San Luis. Get it? Mm-hmm. Spirit of San Luis, because it's at the San Luis Obispo Municipal Airport.
Yep.
And it's actually becoming one of my more favoriter of places to go. Because, I don't know, I think the reason why is that it's just, we tend to only go there for more, I don't want to say special occasions, but we went there for my birthday last year, and then we went there for, I think, my mom's birthday.
I think it was, too. I think it was your mom's birthday.
Because my mom really likes the food there, and the food is good there. And it's a nice place to eat because it's nice in the sense that it's not just tray food.
No, you know, it's got like actual tablecloths and cloth napkins and things, you know.
I mean, you don't need to you know, you don't need to come all, you know, speaking of Vegas, you don't need to come in your, you know, your spats and your top hat. You know, it's not
right,
like...
Right, right. Well, I mean, it's just a nice little restaurant for people that are waiting to get on a plane or they just got off the plane or whatever, you know?
And it has probably the best view of the runways at the airport of, well, of anywhere I'm aware of. Because you can see a certain amount of the airport from right outside the terminal. And then, yeah, you can obviously see the airport pretty well from inside the terminal. Are you waving over there?
No, okay. Just moving the mouse so that my screen doesn't go black.
Okay, just making sure. I thought maybe you had to... There was a medical emergency and we needed to call 911.
There's no medical emergency. Okay. I am fine.
So... It makes me wonder if we need to have some kind of a signal, a flare or something. We should have, you know, we should have, Jen should have her own soundboard patched into the mixer, and the only thing on it will be...
The sound from that infomercial that says, I've fallen and I can't get up. Well, I think that's what it should be.
That or, you know, the alert siren from the original Star Trek.
Well, yeah, I like that one.
Well, we'll write an Apple script where if you know, Jen hits that, it sounds the siren. And
is that the one that I whistle at the birds?
No, that's the yeoman signal.
Okay,
no,
yeah.
This is the loud, annoying thing that.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're always saying they always want somebody to turn off.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I do. I whistle the other one at the birds when they're being annoying, and they actually stop for a couple seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you would if you were on, you know, you were on the ship and you heard that whistle, you'd stop and listen for a minute and see what was being reported. And if there's nothing, you'd go on with your day. And they do that. There's no way they could know to do that.
Yeah.
But they do.
So we went and had a nice dinner and got to watch some airplanes take off. And what I learned with this experience, now that we've been there a few times, is if you go to the Spirit of San Luis and you have a party of, say, more than four or five people, and you want to be able to sit, for lack of a better term, as close to the runways as possible. And I know how that sounds.
Well, like by the windows instead of sort of in the middle of the room.
If you want to have the best view possible, because they do have an outdoor patio. And if you've got a larger party, then you're gonna want to be out on the patio. If you stay inside, they're going to put you kind of further back away from the windows. That being stated, the view is still pretty good, so... So that was fun, and we had a nice meal. And then the rest of the night was just me coming home and getting mad at technology.
Yeah.
And but we did. You and I did play Diablo 3 together. For a little while.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
And we played on characters that we haven't played together. Yeah. I think ever.
That's true.
Yeah, because I'm trying to level a wizard, and it's a male wizard, and. So I'm working my way through that to get my third level 70, which means probably nothing to several people listening.
Right.
And Sean is playing a crusader, and he's played a female crusader. So we kind of gender swapped, and we're playing. It was just kind of fun.
Yeah. None of this was really intentional. It just kind of happened. And in fact,
Well, we were at the same level, you know.
Well, I think you were...
Or pretty close.
No,
I'm a little bit ahead.
Higher than me.
You were at like 29. I was at like 32.
No, I was lower than that. I was at like 22.
Oh, okay. I was about 10 levels ahead of you.
I said...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I completely misread my level when I told you that. So
yeah, because I went by what you said. You're like, oh, I'm at like 29. I'm like,
I'm at
32. Great. Yeah. That'll work, you know.
And it's funny, when I rolled that character, my intention was to roll a male crusader, and I think maybe the default was female, and I clicked the wrong button, and it said, here's your character, and I went, okay, fine, I'll just stay with this. It's no big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same experience, really, you know.
Actually, the female crusader is really cool, so I'm not upset.
I thought so. I played her through the beta for that, and for the expansion, and she was fun, you know. I haven't rolled a crusader again yet, because I'm trying to work on my existing characters first. Because I think once I roll a crusader, that's probably what I'll be playing. You know?
And if you enjoy Diablo Talk, head over to ShatteredSoulstone.com.
Where me and several other people talk about it a lot.
Exactly.
Yes.
And not me.
No.
I
well, you edit, so you end up hearing it anyway, but...
Well, you know. No. So, you know, my My input on the show, I guess, is more technical / spiritual, but
yeah, I like Jen, that. Yeah,
Jen is on that show, and that's where you can hear Diablo talk, because we're certainly not going to talk about it anymore on this.
No, this was program. Just extremely brief compared to what we do on the show. So
today is the 12th, still just barely, of July, and on the 14th. We are going to Las Vegas for a few days, where we're going to celebrate our 10-year wedding anniversary
and have lots of fun.
And have lots of fun. It's a mandatory fun excursion.
I don't know that
no non fun.
I think it'd be hard to not have any fun in Vegas.
Yeah, you would have.
There's got to be something that amuses you at least a little bit.
You would have to be a person that really hates everything to go to Vegas and have a completely miserable time, because even if you're not into drinking, gambling, other potentially illicit activities, if you're not into any of that, I mean, it's not like, you know, Vegas was, say, 30, 40 years ago. There's a lot of kind of family-safe things. Now, that being stated, one of the great things or perhaps bad things about Vegas is they didn't completely relent on all that other stuff and try to push everything into kind of here's the adult zone, here's the family zone, because it doesn't matter where you go, there's some guy handing you hooker cards, or you know, you can drink anywhere, you can smoke just about anywhere,
right? Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those nice things where, as we are adults with no kids, it's kind of nice to go somewhere where the immediate or like the first level of thinking isn't just, we've got to make everything safe for strollers is our number one priority or whatever. So,
yeah. Well, a lot of times though, if they're making things wide enough for strollers, they're also making it wide enough for wheelchairs. But I get what you're saying. You know, yeah, it's not like, you're not going to walk into the buffet and discover it's kids' night, you know?
Yeah.
Or something like
right,
that.
Right. You're not going to.
You're going to be balloons and clowns. And, you know?
Yeah. You're not going to go into the buffet at the Tropicana and, you know, be assaulted by somebody in a teddy bear costume or whatever. Like, that's probably not going to happen.
And like 100 tiny little children excitedly running around, which can be adorable if you want to, you know, if that's, yeah, you're in the mood and you're like, okay, cute kids, that's cool, no worries, you know. But if you don't want that, you know.
So we've been kind of doing a little bit of pre-planning. We're really not going to plan this thing out down to the minute or anything.
No,
and for
no.
us, as I've kind of stated before, when we travel, we really try to avoid the tourist traps. And it's kind of funny because all of Vegas is pretty much a tourist trap. I mean, it's yeah, pretty much what it's there for.
Yeah.
I noticed that, I don't know if it's at our hotel, we're going to be staying at the Luxor.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's at our hotel or just nearby, because everything is big casinos that are on the Strip are so huge, when you look at them on a map, it's impossible to discern exactly where they begin and end. But I did notice that not far from our hotel is... Wait, I need to put this on for full effect. Chris Angel, Mind Freak. I don't really think I want to go to that.
No, that's okay.
Carrot Top? Do you want to see Carrot Top?
I don't think so.
I've heard his show is actually really good, but again, I don't think I want to go through the trouble.
Yeah.
One thing we have decided we want to do is we want to go to something called Container Park.
Yeah.
Which is a...
It's all made out of, like, shipping containers.
Yeah, it's just a shopping and entertainment area that's made out of shipping containers. These are the kind of things we want to go see.
Right,
that's kind of
right.
what our focus is.
And that kind of goes back to us, you know, saving the planet, right? Because it's reusing shipping containers, exactly. And this is one of the things we want to see. I want to see lots of pretty lights and one of those fountains with pretty lights. Yep.
Yeah, so we'll do the super, you know, the cheapskates tour and go see the fountains of Bellagio and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I did notice that it looked like somewhere, maybe not too far from our casino, there was something like the Mob Museum or something. So you can go and learn
feel like
about
you're
all the,
learning about Chicago's history.
Go learn about it. Yeah, well, and learn about whatever actual real connections there may have been to organized crime in Vegas, which is certainly a thing that's existed. So
yeah,
that might be fun for a few minutes, but
we'll see how much it costs and you know, debate whether it's worth it.
So we're looking forward to that, and this show we're recording will obviously go out before, and then sometime in the next week or so, we'll do a show and we'll kind of recap all the fun times and adventures. And as we have mentioned too and talked about in the last show, we are doing a little bit of a campaign just to raise a little bit of extra money. If you'd like to contribute, if you'd like to be a part of our adventure, we're doing a thing called hashtag buy Jen a drink. And if you go to hypernonsense.com/support, and you contribute through any of the methods that are there. We have a PayPal button. We have a link for Square Cash. And just added yesterday, we've moved into the future. That's right. You can now also donate to us through Bitcoin. And if you're like me, as of a couple of days ago and new to the whole Bitcoin thing and hadn't actually set up a Bitcoin wallet, we have a link right by our Bitcoin button on hypernonsense.com/support. And if you click that, it'll take you to Coinbase. And if you set up an account on Coinbase and you verify your account through Facebook, if you just link your account to Facebook, and it's not, I've done it, so I'm here to tell you that it's not spammy or weird. It's just a way for them to kind of add an extra level of identity verification to the account. And if you do that, Coinbase will actually give you $1 worth of Bitcoin for free.
Oh, so neat. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't even know that until I signed up. And Coinbase works a lot like PayPal in terms of you set up a, they call it a wallet, and there are a lot of different ways to do this. I know there's people who are hearing this who are like super Bitcoin nerds who are probably yelling at their media player going, Coinbase is for noobs, bro. But that's me. I'm a total noob to this. So Coinbase just makes everything super easy. And it is kind of like PayPal in the sense that you get your wallet and then your Bitcoin goes into your wallet. But then if you want to buy more Bitcoin, you can attach a bank account or a credit card. Or if you want to transfer, you know, if you want to pay with Bitcoin to us or someone else, then they have all of the tools built into the website for that. So that's why I used it. So if you want to be in the future, you want to use Bitcoin or you already have Bitcoin and you would like to donate some to the show, that is absolutely acceptable. And the link, the button that is on that page, on the support page, doesn't matter, you know, if you've got bit, doesn't matter where your Bitcoins are, through that link, you'll be able to make us a donation. It doesn't matter if you have a Coinbase account or not, if you're Bitcoin or somewhere else, it'll do everything we need to make that happen. So
that's something new.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then what'll happen is for every donation we get between now and the end of our trip, we will take a picture of Jen with the drink.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we will post that on our Twitter account. We will at mention you if we know your Twitter. And at the end of the trip, all the stuff will go up on the website. So
yeah.
So thank you, everyone, for your consideration. And I think we're probably just about ready to close the show unless there's something else you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention really quick. I wrote an article for No Market Collective, which is our website, about
one of the many.
One of the many webs, or one of the many articles. Yeah. And I've been
one of the many webs we own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which really right now is only two, but there will be more.
So
webs.
I guess it's in many. I don't know. Anyway, so I've been following the stuff going on with the Supreme Court decision about the Hobby Lobby case and its repercussions. And as such, there have been several protests. And at the time that I'm recording this, there's been 34 that I know of. Within, you know, the decision was released June 30th, and there was one protest that day. And I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I'm really like, I've never been aware of a time in history when I've been alive where this many people are protesting a Supreme Court decision as well as wanting a boycott for Hobby Lobby as a result. So I've been keeping track of these things just to see kind of like, okay, you know, where did this take place? When? Who organized it? What was the purpose? You know, and any other little incidentals that sound interesting in it. And Think Progress, if you're aware of, it's a website that leans very...
Real popular with the hippies.
Yeah, well, maybe. You know, it's like opposite of Fox News, I guess. You know, it kind of goes the other way. They have been doing many articles about the SCOTUS decisions and the Hobby Lobby situation. And they included in a link in one of their articles, you know, they linked to my list of all of the protests that have happened. And I thought that was really exciting that Think Progress picked up something I wrote, you know? I mean, it's just there in a link, and it doesn't say, you know, hey, this is who wrote this article, and this is where it goes. But if you click there, you end up on our website. And I'm really excited by it. And the other cool thing is that, well, I guess it's cool and it's not. There appear to be several other, I don't want to say content scrapers exactly, but they somehow have the same photo and the same wording as the Think Progress article on their site. And they pulled the link, too. So now people are coming over from there, too. And that was rather unexpected. So I'm kind of excited about being included as a link in a Think Progress article. Because that's never happened before.
And I want to say that nobody out there, I think, nobody I know, anyway, just creates all day long more stuff for the internet than Jen.
I do. Yeah, it's true.
It doesn't matter. I mean, she... For a while, you know, her workload was really high, so she was writing a lot of blogs for pay, and then that slowed down. So she just started writing blogs for our website at, again, nomarket.org, and just constantly writing about a number of different things, and that includes...
Yeah, like, I've got gaming stuff in there, and some of it's screenshots and explaining the game or my experience, some of it's... writing about the games.
When we launched...
There's a lot of stuff dealing with legislation or court decisions relating to...
Hashtag protests.
Well, on this, yeah. This is the only protest I've ever written about. But I've written about things like laws that restrict women's access to healthcare. You know?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. There's a lot of those. But I'll also write about things like politicians that voted against raising the minimum wage and things that I personally feel are interesting to me and that I think, you know, hey, here's an opportunity where people could be helped and you've done the opposite, you know, that kind of thing, you know, is what I do. And then I try to correlate that to who's running. Okay, here's their voting record, you know. But if you look at No Market, the majority of it is there's a lot of gaming stuff too, and random. I've got poetry on there. I have close to 700 blogs on there that are mine alone. And
well, most of what's up there is yours.
Yeah, most of what's up there. I've got book reviews, which I need to keep up with, and all these other things. And I honestly don't know where this all comes from. I just wake up and go, okay, this is what I want to write about,
well,
and there it is. You know,
that's just. How it is. That's become your medium of choice. You are a writer, so you are compelled to write, and thus every day you write.
Yeah.
So it's that simple.
And I'm doing it for us. I mean, I'm not making any money off of any of the stuff I'm doing for us. So I mean,
right.
It's just something like, I guess I've heard it said, you know you're a writer if you can't not write. You know? Which is a horrible grammatically goofy sentence. But
true.
I've heard that, you know.
Okay, well, anything else?
That's it.
All right, then. Thank you for listening. Hypernonsense.com is our website. We'd love for you to visit us sometime. You can hang out and leave a comment for this or any previous episode, and we would love to get that. And in most cases, we'll read that here on the show. If that doesn't appeal to you, but you'd still like to let us know how you feel about things and stuff, you can send an email to show@hypernonsense.com. And by the way, that is also our PayPal ID. I meant to mention that earlier, so if you don't want to do anything else, but you'd like to send us a PayPal donation, well, you can send it to show@hypernonsense.com. It will absolutely get to us. You can call us on the telephone any time of the day or night, area code 206-600-9832 is our number, and we will play that message on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at HyperNonsense, and that's where all of the Las Vegas fun will go down. We'll post pictures there. The hashtag buy Jenna drink pictures or otherwise, we'll go there. So we love you to follow there. And under most cases, unless you're an obvious spam bot, at HyperNonsense will definitely follow you back. Because it's all about the love. We want to love you through Twitter.
That sounds like a spam bot.
Oh.
Actually, yeah.
Okay. So thank you again for listening. And if all goes well, we'll be back with you next week with a full recap of our trip. So have a wonderful few days in your world, even if there are no dancing fountains or
shipping container communities,
shipping container buildings, or
yeah,
no jingling one-armed bandits in your vicinity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can still make it great, right?
Of course.
So thanks everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye, people.